Thank you for taking some time out of your day to tune into this podcast. I'm Michael Miano, and I get to be your host here on The Chronicles of Josephus on Power Preterism Radio. We've left off with our reading here in The Life of Flavius Josephus by Josephus himself, and we're at chapter 23. What I'd like to do is just back up to chapter 21, verse 103, wherein we read, "Hereupon I professed that I was obliged to them for their readiness to serve me," talking about the people in Galilee, "and that I would more than requite their goodwill to me. However, I entreated them to restrain themselves and begged them to give me leave to do what I intended, which was to put an end to these troubles without bloodshed. And when I had prevailed with the multitude of Galileans to let me to do so, I came to Sepphoris." So here we are at Sepphoris, chapter 23. We're going to move into the details. And what I'm going to do is read through some of the portions, and then I'll stop and explain some of the things that should stand out to us. He continues in chapter 23. "At this time, while he's here in Sepphoris, two great men who were under the jurisdiction of King Agrippa came out to me out of the region of Trachonitis, bringing their horses and their arms and carrying with them their money also. And when the Jews would force them to be circumcised, if they would stay among them, I would not permit them to have any force put upon them, but said to them, 'Everyone ought to worship God according to his own inclinations, and not be constrained by force,' and that these men, who had fled to us for protection, ought not to be treated as to repent of their coming here. And when I had pacified the multitude, I provided for the men that were come to us whatsoever they wanted, according to their usual way of living, and that in great plenty also." So, of course, we find that interesting detail there in verse 13, where we read that everyone ought to worship. Josephus argued with the Jews that they should not put force to these Gentile people that had come among them, that they should have to be circumcised according to the Jewish tradition, but rather that they should worship God according to their own inclination and not be constrained by force. William Whiston, at the bottom of the study, the book I'm reading through, gives a little notation that I'd like to share with you. Josephus' opinion here is worth noting, that everyone is to be permitted to worship God according to his own conscience, and it is not to be compelled in matters of religion, as one may here observe, on the contrary, that the rest of the Jews were still obliging all those who married Jewesses, female Jews, to be circumcised and become Jews, and were ready to destroy all that would not submit to doing so. So, you know, again, we see a lot going on here in Sepphoris, in regards to the Romans and the Roman-Jewish War. That's what we're kind of talking about as we're looking at these details here, Josephus and his place in history. And he wrote quite a few different works that we're going to gradually move through on these Chronicles of Josephus. So here we're just starting out a bit of a biography, and he's telling you some outlining details, if you will. What we know here is now is that at Sepphoris there are many Jews that are seeking to force these Romans that are walking with Josephus. He's a historian going with these armies. And also at this point, we're also seeing a lot of the Judaizers arguing with each other, the zealots and different factions, etc., happening. And he's saying that he compelled his fellow Jews that they should not force these men that had sought out help and protection from them and been in their midst. So that's just interesting to note. Continuing through chapters 24 through 31, what we see a lot of is just dangerous times. A lot of deceit. You know, these different kings set up lies against each other. They set up lies against Josephus, some of these zealots. And, you know, they say that Josephus was betraying the people of the various cities, especially there in northern Israel, where we find Galilee, in Sepphoris. And just, you know, again, you see, as you read through the details, there's just so much there in regards to battle. I'm going to move us past chapter 24 and chapter 25 and bring us into chapter 26. Yeah, we'll read through chapter 26 and I'll stop at chapter 27 for a moment. So I'm going to read 26 to 27, and we'll stop as before we move into chapter 28. "There were some bold young men of the village of Dabrata who observed that the wife of Ptolemy, the king procreator, was to make a progress over the great plain with a mighty attendance, and with some horsemen that followed as to guard them. And this out of a country that was subject to the king and queen in the jurisdiction of the Romans, and fell upon them all of a sudden, and obliged the wife of Ptolemy to fly away and plundered all the carriages. They also came to me in Trachonae with 4 mules loading of garments and other furniture, and the weight of the silver they brought was not small, and there was 500 pieces of gold also. Now I had a mind to preserve these spoils for Ptolemy, who was my countryman, and it is prohibited by our laws even to spoil our enemies. So I said to those who brought these spoils that they ought to be kept in order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem with them. They came to be sold. But the young men took it very ill that they did not receive a part of those spoils for themselves, as they expected to have done. So they went among the villages in the neighborhood of Tiberias and told people that I was going to betray their country to the Romans, and that I used to use deceitful language to them when I said that what had been thus gotten by rapine should be kept for the rebuilding of the walls of the city of Jerusalem, although I had resolved to restore these spoils again to their former owner. And indeed, they were herein not mistaken as to my intentions, for when I had gotten clear of them, I sent for two of the principal men, Dacian and Janaeus, the son of Levi, persons that were among the chief friends of the king, and commanded them to take the furniture that had been plundered and send it to him. And I threatened that I would order them to be put to death by way of punishment if they discovered this my command to any other person. Now, when all Galilee was filled with this rumor that their country was about to be betrayed by me to the Romans, and when all men were exasperated against me and ready to bring me to the punishment, the inhabitants of Tarichae did also themselves suppose what the young men said was true, and persuaded my guards and armed men to leave me when I was asleep and come presently to the Hippodrome, in order there to take counsel against me, their commander. And when they had prevailed with them, and they had gotten together, they found a great company assembled already, who all joined in one clamor to bring the man who was so wicked as to betray them to his due punishment. And it was Jesus, the son of Sophias, who principally set them on. He was ruler in Tiberias, a wicked man, and naturally disposed to make disturbances in matters of consequence. A seditious person he was indeed, and an innovator beyond everybody else. He then took the laws of Moses into his hands and came into the midst of the people and said, O my fellow citizens, if you are not disposed to hate Josephus on your own account, have regard, however, to these laws of your country, which your commander-in-chief is going to betray. Hate him, therefore, on both of these accounts, and bring the man who has acted thus insolently to his deserved punishment. The interesting thing is, in chapter 27, we read a couple interesting details. We have 17 different Jesuses mentioned by Josephus. The one we're reading here, Jesus, the son of Sophias, is just one of another 17 different names. That was a very popular name in the first century. We also see a lot of deceit. These rumors that are being told about Jesus, and about Josephus, that he was betraying the various cities of the north, right, northern Israel. Then also that accusation that we read there in verse 134 was the same accusation that was used against Jesus. Same attack they did on Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Remember, Jesus had said that was a sign of the times, that they would bring you into synagogues and they would whip you and, you know, they would punish you. So they would bring you to your due punishment. And again, we see this happening with Jesus. We see it happening here with Josephus. We see it happening with the Apostle Paul. And I'm imagining for many other apostles and those that died in the first century. Another interesting thing I thought out of this was the use of the word stratagem. A plan or scheme, especially one used to outwit an opponent or achieve a desired end. We see that this, you know, there was a strategy needed, because all too often, as Josephus makes known, the multitude was soon deluded by such plausible pretenses. The people are constantly being misled, you know, and the people of Tacharae, which is basically Galilee, Tiberias, and Gamala, these people stand by Josephus. Stratagem, I'm sorry, I didn't read all the way through. Stratagem is mentioned in chapter 30, verse 148. And he talks about how he needed to use a strategy to subvert all these different men that have come up against him. And everybody was being deluded. That's pretty much where we're going to leave off there in chapter 31. Encourage you that if you could get your hands, or even just go to Google and look in the life of Flavius Josephus and find the text for this reading, just read from chapters 23 to 31 to be able to keep up with us. Otherwise, know that what we're really seeing here is just a lot of dangerous times, a lot of deceit, battles, and the people of Tarcharae actually come and support Josephus in this war and, you know, in these different issues that are happening around him, as men are constantly speaking out and saying that he's desiring to be an affront to the Jews and to betray his people. We'll pick up at chapter 32 next Wednesday. I thank you for taking some time out of your day. That's good. We went into about 11 minutes. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen to me. And prayerfully, you're going to get your hands on some resources by Flavius Josephus. And you can continue to do the journey through his text with me. Have a blessed day. Go in peace.